Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We talked about Vinnie Ream all week.
The whole week.
Listen, she's one of those people, I have many thoughts that developed while I was working on this. One, I was just going to do a one-parter, and then I was like, how?
Yeah.
There's no way. And I know we included a lot of quotes from the papers and whatnot, but I really felt like we had to establish just how vitriolic all the back and forth was about her.
Right.
Whew.
Yeah.
Two, my position on her may have shifted a little.
Yeah.
Because I came into this episode and the research really ready to be like, this poor girl, people accused her of a lot of things. She was clearly victimized because she was a young woman. And as I did more research, I was like, I'm not saying that she was, you know, the harlot she was painted to be, but
right.
She was definitely managing the situation to her benefit and knew that these men were obsessed with her.
Well, and it's one of those things where I think multiple things are true at the same time.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So
she really lost me was the guy telling her, you know, Albert Pike being like, I am so in love with you. I cannot bear the thought of you with another man. And her going, you can be in my wedding.
That, yeah.
I was like, this is weird. I also found it weird that she had Sherman walk her down the aisle instead of her dad. I was like, this is why, though?
Yeah.
And Sherman apparently, like, his response was like, is this okay with your parents? And I guess they talked it through. But it, to me, just kind of vibed a little weird of like, are you just doing this for show? Because that seems like an odd choice. I said that I would read her description of how she met Franz Liszt.
Yes, I'm very excited for this.
It's quite charming. So she described this where she says she's sitting in, quote, a chair almost immediately back of the piano at Liszt's right hand. The wonderful magician swept his slender hands over the keys, fascinating all who heard, and with tremulous vibrations touched some tender chords with such a spell that I was deeply affected. The tears, which I could not repress, rose to my eyes, and being so near, and fearful of making the slightest interruption, I dared not raise my hand to brush them away. The great artist felt the spell he was exercising over me. He noticed my emotion, and playing softly with his left hand, he reached his right hand over and laid it for an instant tenderly on mine. We needed no introduction. We understood each other. And when he finished playing and all rushed to congratulate him and thank him, I waited silently by to try and speak. But he offered me his arm, and as we promenaded with the rest down the old convent's halls, he said, "You need not speak. I understand you, and you understand me." And during all my stay in Rome, this great master was a constant visitor at my studio and my warm and devoted friend. I love that she has set up this scenario where, like, they were never introduced and he's just like, you are my people. It's very fascinating to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's another thing that really, really jumped out at me.
Okay.
As interesting in this, we have talked so many times on the show about the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we also live in a time right now when our country is very divided. I don't think that's a controversial statement. And it is very hard for most people, myself included, to understand how people of one side can be cool and hang with people from the other side of this, you know, political ideology split.
Mm-hmm.
But reading through Vinnie Rehm stuff, I was really struck by it over and over. And she, like, for example, her brother, Bob, we mentioned, stayed behind in Arkansas when the family moved to Washington. And because he was in Arkansas when everything started, he fought for the Confederacy. And he was actually missing for a little while. And she was, like, petitioning her contacts in Washington to, like, figure out if she could get a pass to cross the line and go try to find him, which didn't ever work out because she didn't have enough information, really.
Right.
It was kind of like, you're just going to, what, run around the wilderness of the country yelling his name? Like, there's no, you don't know where he is. And of course, he pops back up later, having surrendered during the war. But then her association with Pike, who, if you don't know about Albert Pike, I'm making a face because I don't even know how to describe him. Very controversial. Purported ties to the KKK, very much like a Southern military man.
Mm-hmm.
Everything against all of the people that Vinnie Rehm seemed to align with. But yet they did have a very close relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think an actual romance of some flavor.
Yeah.
He bought a little cottage that he called their place or whatever. And like she allegedly... It's stated very oddly in some of the biographies where it's like, well, she would stay there, but she slept in a room upstairs. Like, I'm like, yeah, but
okay.
this sounds like, you know, you're trying to protect her identity or the integrity of her, you know, purity or whatever. And, you know, his letters to her very much suggest that there was romance between them. And I'm like, but how does that work? Was that... because he was obviously against all the things you were for, and you supported both Lincoln and Johnson, and you, however, she also, this will not surprise anybody, I'm sure, had problems with the suffragettes.
Okay.
Because there had been write-ups in several papers that were women's rights papers that kind of took the side of like, what is this kid doing? She seems to be doing something inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And so when it came time and they were like, do you want to sign any of our petitions? She was like, nope. Nope. You treated me really badly. You don't get my name on your stuff. So it's weird. She has this life where she walks in both those worlds and associates with both those worlds in a way that to me seems very hard to envision. Like I would have a hard time envisioning that for myself, but I know people do it. But it was just one of those things where I was like, oh, we always think of particularly the Civil War and after as like, we are in two groups and we look at each other with leering anger and that's all we get. But that doesn't seem to have been what was going on in a lot of cases. So that was fascinating. One of the things that also tickled me was all the stuff she bought in Paris and Rome.
Okay.
Because she, like, she just bought a lot of stuff. She could not, I think it's one of those cases where, remember, they were not a wealthy family. And then suddenly she was very famous and had some pocket money. And, like, when they were in Paris, she, like, bought herself a harp. Like, what are you going to do with a harp? I mean, she played, but, like, it seemed like everywhere they went, even if they were only staying a few weeks, she moved in like it was her new home. Mm-hmm. And decorated and did all the stuff. We talked about her studio in Rome and how she set it up like with full decor and furniture and, you know, like a little beautiful gallery and work studio. I also don't understand why she stayed in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Carrera is up in Tuscany. there are cities there. She could have stayed in Florence and been much closer.
Yeah.
I didn't find in any of my reading, it may have been there and I just didn't ID it, an explainer for why she would choose to live 4 hours plus away from the place where her bust was being replicated in marble.
Well, and probably longer than 4 hours
right
at the time. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little wacky.
My opinions on this are like definitely influenced by having been to Rome and Tuscany in like recent times.
And our very long bus trip between the two.
Very long bus trip. But like, I mean, that has no bearing on what it was like in the 19th century. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not clear at all about that. I also was kind of fascinated by the fact that it became very apparent. And we didn't really break it down, but I tried to include it in the narrative so that people could kind of get the workings of it. How a memorial statue is made. It's not like someone hands her a hunk of marble and she gets her chisel. You know, she creates the model that is then recreated by master chiselers who their whole job is recreating artists' clay models in marble. So that was very interesting because some of them, you know, the really snarky commentary by Mary Todd Lincoln's friend was very like, she doesn't know what a chisel is. And it's like, she doesn't really need to exactly know what you're talking about. That was kind of fascinating, too.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about Comfort Hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Okay, Mary Todd Lincoln.
Okay.
One, I will say I didn't find, I'm sure it's out there, I never managed to get my eyeballs on it, anything about what Mary Todd Lincoln thought of the statue when it was completed.
Mm-hmm.
We know she wasn't in favor of Vinnie Ream, and she said a lot of nasty stuff about
right.
her. That whole, like, burn this. Don't, I'm not, like, you know what you're doing is wrong when you're mm-hmm. like, burn this letter.
mm-hmm.
But I never saw anything about it. And now it's possible because her son did go see the statue, and he seemed to like it, that that was enough for her, and she didn't want to get involved past that. But I don't know what she thought. I have always known that Mary Todd Lincoln is a mixed bag,
mm-hmm.
but I really was kind of startled at how kind of petty she could be.
Yeah, I didn't really know much about her at all personally. And Patrick was reading, I think maybe Team of Rivals, was reading, you know, some work about Abraham Lincoln. Said something offhandedly about her. And I was kind of like, well, you know, a lot of times the historical accounts of women are like particularly vindictive and harsh because of blah, blah, blah. And then he told me some details about some stuff. And I was like, oh, well, okay. Two things are true at the same time, as we said earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we know, right? Like we talked about her. She came up briefly in our live show episode we did on spirit photography.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And she came up in our episodes about mediums at various times. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that she was, like, kind of into the occult and this idea mm-hmm. of spiritualism that was sweeping the nation at the time. She was not an outlier in this regard. So we knew, like, I always knew she could be perceived as a bit kooky because of that. But I really did not have a sense of just how vindictive she could be.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole, like, I don't know you. Like, she perfected that well before Mariah Carey was, like...
Yeah. I was sort of like, death of a child, death of a husband. Like, it just seems like so much was happening in her life. But then I will hear specific, you know, accounts of particular things that happened. I'm like, whoa, okay. I don't feel like what I just said can really mitigate that story.
Yeah, some of it's really venomous.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Also, she was notoriously, it came up and I didn't mention it to you beforehand, and it was in a passage that you had to read.
Mm-hmm.
Her, listen, we write out stuff and sometimes there are lots of typos and whatnot, but I know there was a weird moment in one of them and I had forgot to mention to you that I had copied it directly. Because
mm-hmm.
her punctuation was fast and loose.
Mm-hmm.
Like where I would be writing it, reading it and being like, there shouldn't be a period here that completely breaks the concept of this sentence. What is this fragment that's off on its own, like just held out by dashes? What is... She's pretty notorious in her letter writing for having kind of a, I will call it a very staccato style of communicating.
Yeah.
fascinating. Fascinating. Have you gotten to, do you know the Lincoln statue?
I looked at it because I did not know immediately what statue we're talking about. And there is also like a Lincoln Emancipation Memorial statue.
Yes.
And I wanted to make sure it wasn't that one because
yeah.
I did not remember who had sculpted that one or the story behind it. It is not that one. The Emancipation statue has like a whole complicated history, but the visual representation of it is like there's Lincoln and then at Lincoln's feet, a sort of worshipfully adoring looking freed black person, and like it's yeah.
There is you bring up a thing that I did not include in our show because it's in the exact same vein as this, but in write-ups about the unveiling of the Lincoln statue, there were also present black people at that unveiling,
mm-hmm.
and the way they are described as reacting is very much in line with this, like that really does the whole white saviorism thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, we don't need to put that in this show.
Yeah.
Not germane.
Yeah. And I also, like, I have no idea whether, like, was the Cherokee Nation involved in the Sequoia statue? I don't know.
I would think probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all a little kooky. Again, I mostly came away with like the Pike story of like, I'm obsessed with you. Cool. Will you wear a suit and a boutonniere for my wedding? It's not to you. Like, that's a whole level of... I'm curious what your thoughts are. Do you think she was calculating, or do you think she was like a go with the flow that was like, this is working out for me?
In terms of anything in particular?
Or... I think just in general, her behavior with men. Like, obviously, she lobbied at various times.
Yeah.
But I don't have a good sense. I don't have a firm stance on whether I think she was like, yes, I will flirt with these old dudes to get what I want. Or if she was like, I'm just being super nice. I'm just a super nice person that's friendly. Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, there is part of me that's like, girl, you had a lot of people writing you very aggressively romantic letters. Surely it must have clicked at some point that you were getting what you wanted because they thought there was some promise, at least, of some romance with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I feel like that's a whole tangle.
It is a whole tangle, like, and it's hard, and you don't want to, like, get into shaming her. There's also part of me that's like, okay, what if that was the case? What if she was conniving as heck and she was like, listen, they can fall in love with me. That's fine. I don't need to love them back, but there is no other way I'm going to be able to do what I want to do with my life.
Well, and we also know that, like, attractive women public figures often get a lot of unwanted attention from men.
Yes.
And then are accused of having encouraged that unwanted attention.
100%.
By existing. So, like, I'm super reluctant to make any kind of conclusive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was interacting with all of these people in a way that I'm like, it's not quite the same as that in my mind. You know, like when apparently I didn't read all the letters between them, but apparently when she started dating Hoxie, for example, and people like Pike in particular, obviously, was writing her and she was telling him, like, no, it's nothing to worry about. No, it's fine. When she was obviously dating this other person.
Right.
I'm like, okay, what is the impetus for that? Like, you are lying to him.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that I can see that she is doing so that is benevolent and not weaselly? I don't know. Unless she just thought, he's quite an elderly man. I don't want to scare him to pieces. I don't know. That's part of why her legacy is so difficult. Boy, I do think we didn't talk that much about her art, actually. I mean, I think she was a perfectly fine artist. She is not an artist. You have seen me fall apart in front of sculptures before. Her art does not inspire that in me, but I always do think it's lovely. Like, no part of me is like, ugh, what is this? So the jury will be out on Vinnie Rehm forever. We don't know any more, really, about whether or not she was the cause of Charles Francis Hall's death. But that even seems fascinating to me. If that was the sticking point that motivated Bessels and he did, in fact, kill Charles Francis Hall, that's a weird thing. Like, that, if that's the case, that speaks to her appeal, that they knew her for a couple weeks. And out of that, he was like, I will kill for her.
Right.
That's a lot, and kind of does, again, bring into focus how much like Franz Liszt, people just could not fall in love with them. Wild.
Yeah.
Franz Liszt. He just knew we were the same. I love it. Anyway, that was Vinnie Rehm. I feel like we could do, and somebody could do a long, like, 27-part series on her. And there would still be stuff left unturned because it's a lot. We hope that if you have time off in the coming days, you do not have to deal with anything or anyone that is a lot, unless you like that. if you don't have time off, we still hope you get some rest and relaxation in the mix, because everybody needs it. We will be right back here tomorrow with a classic episode, and then on Monday with something brand new.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.